Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you praising you that you are holy, you are worthy to open that scroll. And we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have tonight to gather together and to celebrate what you mean to us, Lord, and to remember what you've done for us. And I just ask that you would bless this time in a very special way. We commit it to you. We thank you for prayer. We thank you that you tell us we are to call upon you and you will answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not of. And we pray even for our students that we committed to pray for. I pray for Billy. And I ask you to bless Billy, and I know our people are praying for those that they know of, Lord. And so we pray for each one, Lord, in that D-Now weekend, that it would be a special, special time. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to slow down tonight and to contemplate and think about the way you've changed our life and how all of history was changed because of what you've done on the cross. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to look in your Bible, take your Bible and open your Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Tonight we're going to have the Lord's Supper together. And there are many times when we come to the Lord's Supper and I'm really like locked in and tuned in to it all, but I'm not saying I'm not locked in and tuned into it all right now, but I am saying that I need to slow down right now in my life today and just reflect upon all the blessings of God and the way he's changed our lives, the way he has loved us. He's died on that cruel cross that we might be saved. The scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. And sometimes, congregation, we're moving at a rapid pace. And I think it's very important to take some time and slow down and think about the blessings of the Lord. The Lord's Supper is a time to do that. It's a time to remember what Jesus has done for us. He says, do this in remembrance of me. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. He purchased us a place in heaven, which he offers us as a free gift. And you have put your faith in Jesus. You have trusted in him. It says, by grace we have been saved through faith. You've put your faith in Christ. And that is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you believe the gospel to be a gift from God that is received by faith in Christ alone, not any of your own works involved, anything you've done, then if you have received the gospel and received Jesus, then you are a candidate to take the Lord's Supper. In some churches, and we don't fault them necessarily, but in some churches, you have to be a member of that exact church or you cannot have the Lord's Supper. That is called what they call closed communion. Some people in churches believe in open communion to where it doesn't matter anything about what you believe. You just, if they have the Lord's Supper, you can have communion. Now, we're not gonna have tests tonight to see where you stand on any of this, okay? So this is, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you instructions. Here's what our church, here's how we do the Lord's Supper. If you believe in the gospel of Jesus the way our church here believes it, And the best we understand the New Testament to teach is what we believe. Y'all do know that we're trying to do what we believe the New Testament's teaching, right? That's what we're trying to do. And if there's anything we're doing that is contrary to what the New Testament teaches, we want to change. We want to align ourselves with the New Testament. We believe that the Scripture teaches that a person becomes born again when they are converted to Christ, they give their life to Christ, and the Holy Spirit seals them, and they are saved. Jesus went to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. The terminology of being saved is used in Scripture. The terminology of being converted, he has been converted to Christ, is a term that is used often. But the bottom line is, if you believe that salvation is a gift from God, not from you, not as a result from your works, but it's all of the Lord, and you have received that gift of eternal life, then you are a candidate to have the Lord's Supper tonight. And typically, that person is a person who's a baptized believer, because as we saw this morning, the first act of obedience in following Christ is that you have been scripturally baptized. So typically what happens is a person gives their life to Christ, they have been saved, then they are baptized, and then they begin participating in the Lord's Supper. So I invite you to participate, because if all of that is not true of you, then this service would not be as meaningful as it needs to be for you, because the point is, we're here to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, I want to tell you that our Lord is the last Adam. One of the things that I feel is my charge on the Lord's Supper night is to give you some scripture that would help you realize what Christ has done for you, what Christ has done for me. And the scripture teaches that he is the last Adam. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want you to look at verse 45, the scripture says this: "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Now, go back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, and this is something that I wanted to share about that as well. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says this: "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin." Now let's just stop right there for a second. We have a sinful nature because we are in Adam. We have the sin that Adam committed affected all of humanity. Now, don't get me wrong. You're a sinner because you sin. We're guilty on two counts. We willfully, of our own will, choose to sin ourselves, so we can't blame it on Adam. We chose to do that ourselves. But in the same way that we chose it, we also inherited a sinful nature. I heard it described like this: if Adam was a bowl, okay? If Adam was a bowl, and all the fruit in the bowl — I should have brought a bowl to demonstrate this, but I didn't have a bowl and I don't have the fruit. So you're going to have to visualize it. But if Adam was the bowl and the bowl fell, everything in the bowl fell too. Does that make sense? Well, we're in Adam. And so when Adam fell, then we fell with him. And that's one reason that you don't have to teach little children how to be selfish and how to be sinful. And you don't have to teach adults how to be sinful, because we have that in us. Now look, in our scripture it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world." And by the way, all of creation was changed as part of the curse when Adam fell. The whole earth is groaning for there to be a second Adam to make things right. All right? Verse 13, For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, that wasn't the same, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Look at verse 17. For if by the one man offense, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance, the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So I want you to think about this. Sin and death entered upon all men. It entered the world through one man. Well, by the obedience of the last Adam, or the second Adam, life abounds to many. By Jesus Christ dying on the cross, he actually reversed for those who have put their faith and trust in him all that happened at the fall when Adam, when that bowl fell and we fell in it. That was the result of what the first Adam did. Well, the Lord is the last Adam, and the Lord has made it possible for us to know him in a personal way. There are so many facets to what Jesus has done. He has redeemed us. He has broken the power of sin. Now, in this life, we still have the sinful nature. It's not totally eradicated until the Lord's return. It will still remain as something that we have to battle. But the power of that and the domination of that sinful nature has been snapped. It's been broken, and we have actually the ability, the freedom to choose to live the way Jesus wants us to live. We have that ability now because of what the last Adam did, because he has broken that power of sin. And the scripture says, where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. And so we celebrate tonight the fact that Jesus has made this possible for those who believe upon him. It is our joy to experience the victory that is ours. And quite frankly, with the congregation tonight, I just want to say I need to be reminded of these blessings. You know, no matter what circumstances you and I face, We were talking about this in a meeting prior to this service tonight. There are places in the world where those who do not love Jesus are putting pressure upon those that are telling people about Jesus in other places. And it may be happening even more and more in our country, but primarily what I'm thinking about in places in the world where our missionaries are and others that are serving Jesus, there is persecution tightening. And I was thinking about this. No matter whatever we face, as difficult circumstances that we face, to think that, as the scripture says in the book of James, this life is but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Now, it feels to me like it lasts a while. I've been here a while. And you're going to be here a while, Lord willing, right? Amen. One guy said that, you know, I know the Lord's going to be returning, and man, I'm ready and everything. He said, now, if somebody's getting up a load to go, I'm not quite ready yet, but you know, I mean, I'm ready when it's time. You know, I'm not volunteering to go quicker than I should. But the point is, even as long as we sense this life is in light of eternity, it's like a vapor. And to think that for all eternity, what Adam in his fall dealt to all mankind, that has been reversed so that we can spend all eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the blessing that he has provided for us. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted just as we all are tempted and yet without sin. Jesus reversed it. Adam had a perfect relationship with God the Father, and yet he sinned. He made the wrong choice. Jesus Christ didn't do that. He was tempted in all the points as Adam was tempted, as man is tempted, and yet without sin, the Scripture says. And so one of the things that Jesus has done for us, he has reversed all that the sin of Adam has brought upon creation and particularly upon us. And I want us to celebrate that and to remember that tonight.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.